Well, it is that time of year, isn't it? The end of the year. And we're about to ring in 2019, and it's bright, shiny, new, and maybe that provides some hope, some clarity, some joy that there's maybe this changing of the guard and an opportunity for a new beginning for you with resolutions and things of that nature. But maybe it feels more like you're dragging it in. That it's going to be anchoring you down. Here we go again, another year, and another year of maybe failed resolutions or whatever it might be. Maybe there are some certain burdens that you feel like you have or that I have that we need to address, but maybe we don't know the best way to go about them. We're not going to talk about Matthew chapter 18 again for the sake of you and for the sake of me. Once is enough every so often. But we are going to look at one passage that perhaps is the emphasis of Matthew 18 or even preempting that kind of situation when we have to address sin, but to address a situation that is really the embodiment of how you deal with conflict or how to preempt any kind of conflict. Talking about a little bitty book by the name of Philemon. Some might say Philemon. I'm going to try to just stick with Philemon. But either way you say it, this little bitty book, and if you remember a while back April 1st, if that's not a sign, the day that I tried out here was April Fool's Day. I don't know if you realize that. Happened to also be Easter. But for our Bible class portion, we focused on the book of Philemon. And I didn't get through the whole study that morning. And so I want to talk about it in sermon form because I think it's a great way to talk about a new beginning or to offer that kind of new beginning. And if you would entertain the idea, we're going to read this in its entire context. Philemon is one whole chapter of 25 verses. It's a quick read, and I would like to go through that this morning because I believe we're going to see there are three different subjects in this letter, three different individuals that we're going to consider this morning. So let's read the letter and then we'll break it down piece by piece. So in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And so in reading that letter, we're reading someone's personal mail. It just so happens that this letter, being carried likely by Onesimus himself, the one who's the subject of this letter, is also carrying another letter along with him, and that's the letter of Colossians. And so Philemon is a strong member, it would seem to be indicated by Paul here in this letter, of the church that meets in Colossae. And so Tychicus and Onesimus are carrying these two letters with them as they make their way back to Philemon and the brethren there in Colossae. And so there's a lot of things going on here in this letter. Paul, oftentimes, as he does, has the warm greeting. He does what we have called before kind of the sandwich method of really not puffing up Philemon, but really letting him know how much he valued him. And so it all boils down to the opportunity to offer a fresh start. That's what this letter really is all about. The opportunity to turn the page, to start something new here, where there may have been a relationship or relationships in shambles, and that's where we come in. Maybe there is bad blood in your family, or hopefully not between brethren, but maybe there's something that is not publicly known that needs to be fixed between brethren, or even somebody in the workplace that doesn't have to do with another brother or sister in Christ. This is really a great way to go about things. And there are three different opportunities that we find in this letter found with these three men. And first, we see Paul. And Paul is the one who has the opportunity to encourage a fresh start. Paul finds an opportunity to help. Philemon was this man who had obviously been burned by Onesimus in the past. We don't know the details of what happened, but it certainly appears that Onesimus was a runaway slave or a runaway bondservant, that he shirked his duties, left the work of Philemon, and somehow ended up with Paul. Onesimus was a man who had clearly made a great change in his life, which Paul indicates later on in verses 10 through 16. But think about the conversations that Onesimus and Paul would have had. For Onesimus to be able to put these things together, that he hears Paul's teaching, Onesimus does, tells about his past, Paul, you know, engages in conversation with him as anybody would to try to learn about this new person, just as we would in with any visitor or any newcomer that we have in our life, that we would try to get to know them and ask about their past, where they come from. So Paul's asking Onesimus, where are you from? He says, Colossae. And what did you do? What was your work? Well, I was a bondservant. Okay, I've been there before. Who? He says, Philemon. You mean Philemon that lives on 123 Main Street in Colossae? Yeah, that's the one. Okay, well, Paul has some work to do here to try to remedy the situation, but Paul is seeing an opportunity, and it seems as though he kept Onesimus for a little while, that he built a rapport, and that Onesimus eventually would become a child of God. But he finds the opportunity to help not only Onesimus in his situation of obeying the gospel, but also to convene and or have intercede or mediate and be that mediator to help Onesimus and Philemon with this opportunity. But it's not just about finding an opportunity, though, is it? It's about actually taking the opportunity to help. Each one of us in this room could think of probably, I would say, on at least one hand, different opportunities, even within this congregation, let alone maybe in our communities and in our neighborhoods, of ways that we can help someone else. We all can think of things that we could do. But the question is, knowing what we could do and actually doing what we can do is the difference. Paul takes the opportunity to help. See, oftentimes I think there's the temptation or maybe the realization of, you know, well, if we didn't have these work groups, how much would actually get done? And maybe with the announcements like Danny had read before us of who all is sick or having different challenges, that maybe the temptation would be, well, that's, oh, shucks, that's too bad. I hate that for them. I'll pray for them. And we say, I'll pray for you. But the question is, are we going to pray for them? I'm implicating myself in that too, of saying, I'll pray for you. And sometimes it's, if I don't pray right then and there or immediately after the conversation, I may tend to forget about that. And so seeing the opportunity and taking the opportunity are two different things. And we have to ask ourselves, how many opportunities am I really willing and able to take, and have I taken? How often do we make matters worse, perhaps, by just talking about the situation as a distant observer could potentially be considered a gossip rather than lending a hand as part of the solution? When we have situations where there's sin involved, then we say, well, that's too bad, but we never write a letter. We never reach out to that person or those individuals, and we just are a quiet observer. We have to not only see these opportunities, but take these opportunities. It's like what Paul said in the letter to the Philippians. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, he said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so there's a twofold scenario here with Paul and with Onesimus and Philemon, is that Paul's not just trying to remedy this relationship between a bondservant and his master. He's trying to resolve a situation now between two brothers. That just puts even more emphasis on the situation that he is wanting to help out here. As well as what Paul would also say in the letter to the Romans in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And so Paul, the onus really is on him. As soon as he sees that this is a situation that is not good, that it is a broken relationship between Onesimus and Philemon, based on Paul's words in the letter to the Romans, it's on him to take part in this situation. So again, putting ourselves in under the microscope here. How often have we known of situations where we could lend a helping hand and we've chosen not to? He says, we who are strong. In other words, we who have not struggled in this area or who are currently not struggling in this area, who know the situation and know what's better for our souls than what this brother or sister are doing. Again, it's more than just seeing the problem, but trying to be part of the solution. And that is exactly what Paul is doing here. And then on top of that, Paul is not looking out for himself here and the fact that he uses the right approach. It's also easy to see the opportunity, to take the opportunity, but then to go into a situation perhaps with guns blazing. And that goes back to how we talked about in Matthew 18, that there is a right approach in addressing sin. There's also a right approach in trying to preempt a conflict, to try to see maybe the writing on the wall and say, this is going down a bad road if we don't get a handle on this situation really quick. And so Paul uses that right approach. And it's much to what we see in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Paul could have said much to what he alludes to in verse 8 of, I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, but I'm not going to do that because I love you and that I respect you and I respect the man that you are. And so he uses this right approach and he builds Philemon up and reminds him of the kind of person that he is. And then he offers a solution. And so Paul offering that solution and appealing, as we read in verse 9, out of love, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you to listen to what he's saying. And then leading up to that request, that Paul chose to recognize all of those good aspects about Philemon there in verses 4 through 7. And that leads to another point. Part of a conflict resolution is perhaps looking at the strengths, the positives of each party involved. And Paul certainly does this with both of these men. And so he talks about Philemon there in verses 4 through 7. The fact that he says that he takes time to remember him in his prayers. And there in verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. How could we remedy situations and intercede in conflicts or potential conflicts by saying, look, I realize how strong of a servant you are. I appreciate these aspects that you bring to the table, the encouragement that you are to our congregation or to my family or to me individually or whatever the situation may be, to build that person up that way, not that we can pull the wool over their eyes, it's not that, but to recognize they have positive qualities, and we know that perhaps what we're, at least in Paul's situation, what we're about to ask is something rather difficult, something that is going to challenge. But instead of just finding the opportunity, taking the opportunity, and being nice about it, he offers a solution as well. He doesn't just encourage Philemon to take Onesimus back, but in verses 18 and 19 he says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Think about the power behind those two verses. What's the situation with Paul right now? In multiple verses, he's indicated that he's imprisoned. He is in jail right now. Not only that, he indicates that he's an old man in verse 9. And not only that, considering the amount of travel that he's had, he's probably not carrying a whole lot of money. He's not rolling in the riches and preaching the gospel of Jesus. And so he, for him to say this, if Onesimus owes you anything, I'll pay it back. That's how much I want this situation to be reconciled. And what does that say about one who has the opportunity to be a mediator, to be the middleman, to try to bring these parties back together? Paul's not just telling Philemon that he's going to have to make a sacrifice. He's not just telling the Onesimus that he has to make a sacrifice. Paul is willing to sacrifice himself. He's sacrificing his time in writing this letter. He sacrificed time already in talking with Onesimus and convincing Onesimus that he needs to go back. And now, in trying to plead with Philemon to do the same, to take him back. And then, on top of that, to even be willing to pay back any debt that is owed by Onesimus. Just incredible to think about the kind of sacrifice Paul is willing to offer here on his part because of the love that he has for both of these men, and greater more, the love that he has for the work of the Lord. Because maybe the other insight to this would be that Onesimus is bringing more to the table than he left with coming back to Philemon. That Onesimus can be a positive influence in the church there in Colossae. And so the question is for us, as we think about maybe situations that we can be a mediator, that we can be one to bring people back together, what opportunities do we have to encourage a fresh start? Maybe the situation is that we have to be the mediator and we're the party that has been jilted or has been the offender. We could be a Philemon and an Onesimus in this situation, but still have the desire to bring ourselves back together. It doesn't have to be three separate parties, but the way this letter unfolds, it makes for that kind of situation. But think about those kind of opportunities that you have in your own life to either bring yourself back with someone or that you can bring other people back together and be that person, be the bigger person and see the greater opportunity and the greater things that are at stake here when we're dealing with someone's soul. The other side of this, well, there's more than two sides. So the other aspect of this, a second aspect, is from Philemon's standpoint. And he has the opportunity to offer a fresh start. So Paul is encouraging this fresh start. Philemon has the opportunity to offer. And maybe you ask, with Paul writing this letter, well, what choice did Philemon have? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. Apparently they have a history together. Paul's reminding him of that. I'm going to guess that Paul is specifically responsible for Philemon knowing the gospel and for Philemon's obedience to the gospel. And so what kind of honor and respect would Philemon probably have for Paul up to this point? Not to mention that Paul is an older individual, and so the respect for his elder in that kind of way as well, that you might say, well, what choice did Philemon have? Well, the same situation is true for us today. It doesn't matter who it is who's addressing the situation. Each one of us has a choice in how we receive it. Each one of us has opportunities to accept or decline the opportunity. He could have denied Paul's request. He could have thought of himself and said, do you realize what Onesimus has done to me? Do you realize how good I was to him? Do you realize the loss of work and the pain and the toil that we've been in since he left? Do you understand all of that, Paul? Why do you think I would want to have him back? Why would I take him back? Just like you have a history with me and all of these nice things you said about me. Yeah, those things are true. But look at what Onesimus did. And perhaps he had at least a thought that crossed his mind, which crosses a lot of our minds in these kind of situations. Yeah, but my situation is different. Have you ever said that before? Or heard somebody else say that before? Now, my situation's different. You don't understand all of the details that are going into all of this and why it's just not a good situation. It's not a good fit. I don't really want Onesimus back anymore. It's just different. You have to be me to understand. But is any situation really all that different? And again, what's at stake here in this letter? He's dealing with brethren now. He's dealing with a situation of trying to reunite brothers in Christ. And so my guess is as well as to how Paul is framing this and looking at the type of person that Philemon seems to be here, that I would guess that Philemon likely granted Paul's request. And that is certainly reading between the lines here. But to think about not only this letter that Philemon is receiving, but there's this other letter that Onesimus and Tychicus are coming in tow with, and that's the letter to the Colossians. And as we had read in our scripture reading this morning, in Colossians 3 and verse 17, he writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." But let's turn back to that passage and look at some verses before that. Could it be that Paul is banking on Philemon not just reading this personal letter, but reading the letter written to the church? And as we had read this morning in verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Right there, that's what Paul's asking Philemon to do. To have that humility, to bring him back when otherwise he probably wouldn't want him to be patient, to be kind, to have compassion. Verse 13, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." There's the perspective, right? There's the perspective that Paul wants Philemon and all the other brethren to have here. Because just thinking about it now, Philemon's probably not the only one who knows this situation personally about Onesimus. Sure, it happened to Philemon, but I'm sure the brethren in Colossae know about this too. And so if Onesimus was just to toddle back on to Colossae and say, "Here you go, Philemon, here are these letters, read them," all the other brethren in that region probably know exactly what happened as well. And so Paul could be writing this with Onesimus in mind, thinking about, look, you've got a right to have a complaint against Onesimus, but let me give you some backstory here. Let me appeal to you. And again, think about the condition here, that you've had reason to have complaint against you as well, and that Christ has been willing to forgive you. You also must forgive. The Lord has been willing to forgive. You must also forgive. And then in Philemon 21, Paul talks about his confidence of Philemon's obedience. "Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say." Paul's not really just trying to force Philemon's hand here. He has a relationship with Philemon to a point that he's confident, that he's sure that Philemon is going to take Onesimus back. That it will be kind of that prodigal son return, that Onesimus comes back, Philemon brings him back with open arms, is going to be a good master to him, and even more so, he's going to be a brother to him in Christ. And to do even more than what Paul is asking him here. And so just thinking about and piecing all of these things together. And so the question is for us, do you have any opportunities to offer a fresh start? Maybe you are the one who's been slighted, the one who's been hurt, the one who feels like your heart's been stomped on, you've been drugged through the mud, and that this person or this group of people or whoever it is has not treated you kindly. But not only are you the slighted person, but you can be that mediator as well. You can find it in your heart to offer a fresh start. Maybe you've already said your piece and you've been hateful, or you've said some words that you regret, even though the person who hurted you is the one who started all of this. Maybe there's that opportunity to say, "Look, we have an opportunity here to reconvene, to come back together, to make this right. What are we willing to do? Is it really, are we willing to ignore our soul's great need and that person's great need to have this relationship restored so that not only we can be right with each other, but that we can be right with God? And then, of course, finally, there is Onesimus, who has the opportunity to receive a fresh start. And again, we could ask, what choice did he have? What choice did he have to go back to Philemon, because Paul is having him go? Again, think about, read between the lines here. Think about the conversations that Paul and Onesimus would have had to have had. It didn't just happen by osmosis that Paul just puts his hands on him and Onesimus knows just what he needs to do. Paul is talking with Onesimus. He's working through the situation with him and saying, look, you were wrong in this. You shouldn't have left Philemon. You shouldn't have done what you've done. But think about this as well, that he is carrying this other letter, as we read in Colossians 4 and verse 9. So he does have an extra mission involved in this, not only restoring his relationship with Philemon, but to carry this letter to the church in Colossae. But we need to also consider in the grand scheme of things as well, if Philemon had a choice, Onesimus did as well. He could have ignored Paul's direction. He could have done the same thing to Paul that he did to Philemon, and he could have ran, gone to the next town, and tried to start all over again. He had that option, but as we see, he chose to go back. He didn't just trust in his emotions, trust in his feelings, which is oftentimes a player that's involved in these kind of situations, but he listened to reason. He would have had to, and he would have heard hard things from Paul. I'm sure as Paul didn't hold back from anybody, he didn't hold back on Onesimus either. And he told him not what Onesimus wanted to hear, but what he needed to hear. And that's a lesson for us as mediators, to try to say, to speak the truth in love, but to speak the truth nonetheless. To let our brethren, to let whoever's involved in conflict, to hear what they need to hear and not just what we hope they want to hear. But to speak the truth and to understand there are greater things involved here. And so he chooses to go back and think about these words of affirmation. I'm one of those, if you've heard of the five love languages, I love words of affirmation. I love encouragement. It's what I thrive on. It keeps me going. It drives me to do more. Think about these words of affirmation that Paul offers on Onesimus' behalf. And what he's writing specifically to Philemon, he says, I'm sending back my very heart. How close do you think Paul and Onesimus had here of a relationship that they had? This seems to indicate it wasn't just a one-time conversation and Paul sends Onesimus away, but they have built a relationship here. They have built a kinship here that Paul feels for Onesimus like he's probably felt for Timothy and others that he's worked with directly. To the point that he considers him a son. He's like a son to me. I would have been happy to keep him here with me because there's benefit to him. In fact, he calls Onesimus useful or profitable, which is actually the literal meaning of the name Onesimus. And funny, as he plays off of that he said, I agree with you, he was useless before. He did not live up to his potential. He did not live up to the standard. He was useless prior, but now he's useful. He's living up to his name. And that's the question to us. Are we living up to our name? I'll never forget one of the lessons that my father taught me that I will always take with me for my life is to remember the name you wear, and not only the name, the names you wear. There's the name of Gunter that you represent our family. You need to wear our name well, but even more importantly, the name you wear of Christ, that you are a Christian, and remember that influence that you have and the reproach that you could bring or the encouragement that you could bring based on the name that you wear. Are we living up to that name? Are we living up to the standard that is set by the name that we wear of Jesus, that God was willing for us to not only send His Son, but to wear a name resembling His Son of a Christian? The question is, am I living up to that name? Am I living up to the standard, or am I proving that word useless? Am I proving that title useless by the choices that I make, by the relationships that I leave in shambles, by the life that I live? Am I living more by emotion than by reality and by truth? And would I, like Onesimus, choose to go back and return knowing that it's the right thing to do? Not the comfortable thing to do, but the right thing to do. And so the reality is as well, not only do we have the opportunity to offer and encourage fresh starts, but to receive a fresh start. This is a beautiful letter in my mind. To see how people can work through conflicts without them getting heated, without them getting out of hand, without words being said that will later be regretted, that Paul lifts Philemon up by his words, tells him how much he appreciates him, tells him how much he prays for him, how thankful he is for him, and reminds him that they have a relationship themselves and that they have an opportunity to have a relationship with each other through Onesimus. And so, think about these common bonds. All three of them were convicted of sin. Right in Romans 3:23, of course, that we have all sinned and fallen short. He would also write to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 15 of 1 Timothy, calling himself the chief or the foremost of sinners. Paul has made clear before that he does not lift himself up in regard to being one who has failed in the past. Another common bond is that they were both converted to Christ. All three of them were converted to Christ. So now they have this bond of being brethren. But they also have a bond of being owned. Onesimus has been a bondservant. He has been owned by his master, Philemon. But greater still, they have been owned by Christ. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 22, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. And so no matter how you slice it, we are all slaves of something or someone. Jesus would say that no one can serve two masters. And the reality is we are either serving Christ or sin. We're wearing chains belonging to somebody, either God or Satan. The question is, who are we more willing to serve? Who are we more willing to listen to? Because the chains of Satan, really, in the moment, they may not feel too heavy. Because he, like he did to Eve and like he did to others throughout history of Scripture, we see that he has a lot of nice things to say and can convince us that our feelings are more important, that what we want in a situation is more important than what truth is and what needs to happen in a situation, but how we feel and what we want and what we think is what should rule us. And while the burden of being a Christian may seem heavy at times, those chains are far lighter from the standpoint that we have been freed from the shackles of sin and that we will receive freedom eternally by being home with the Lord in heaven. And so the question this morning is, are you willing to offer, encourage, or receive a fresh start? That opportunity is found first and foremost in Christ, to become a child of God, to be forgiven of your sins, and to walk upright with Him into eternity. But if you are a Christian, think about your relationships. Think about, most importantly, your relationship with God. He's already been the mediator in offering His Son as that one mediator, as we read in Hebrews. But He's offering that fresh start for us, even as children of God, to repent of our sins and to come back to Him. If there's any way we can help you this morning, won't you come while together we stand and sing?